Welcome along to a special Christmas Day edition of the Milk Bar Podcast. Now, very, very soon I'll be having a chat with Julian Clary, who's on over at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. That's on the way in a sec. We'll be hearing from the Reverend David Wright as well, the rector of Wolverhampton and St Peter's Church. But in the studio, Susan Murray, hello.
Hello.
Can we have a natter with you a bit later? Is that all right?
Yeah, of course you can.
That's okay. We'll talk to you in a bit. Julian Clary, the one and only Dandini in Cinderella at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, and you already have the sparkly lipstick on, which is quite a treat.
Yes, I like to be prepared.
And it's a big show, big panto, and you've got a massive role in this. They're working you to death, aren't they?
It is a big show. It feels like, what does it feel like being like some great big ocean-going liner or something, you know, it chugs along. It flies by for me, because as soon as we start, if I'm not on stage, then I'm getting changed, and it wears you out, but then at the same time you get energy from the audience and it passes the time.
I mean, there's a great audience reaction to the lines that you have in the show as well, and there's a lot of love coming your way, I think.
Oh, that's nice. I can't imagine playing a baddie where you go on and get booed every night. Well, the whole point of me being in this show is to entertain the grown-ups, really. People think of panto as just for children, but, you know, at least 50% of your audience are adults. And sometimes panto is a bit of a trial for, you know, something you have to do for the children. So we try to make this entertaining on different levels.
For panto for you, I mean, you've done a few of these now. How many years have you been doing panto?
About 14.
It must be something you love. Okay, it's an important source of income for any actor of any background, but it must be something you really enjoy. And does that mean you've got a favourite panto?
Cinderella is my favourite. Well, it's the only thing I can do, isn't it, where you can be part of a big production with lots of other people and all the sort of production support, and I can still be me being silly. You know, if I was in a play, then you'd have to act, or you'd have to stick to the script. Only in panto can you step out of the role or out of the scene and make some comment. If someone's coughing in the front, you can. So it's a very kind of liberating thing to do.
And how do you fit this in with all the other work? Because I think there's probably more books on the way. There's been a few over the last few years on that one. So is it something that, again, allows you to bring some new stories to life in your books?
Well, I just rotate the different activities in my life, so I can be touring for a few months, or I can be sitting at home being a recluse and writing, or I can be in panto. You know, you just have to plan ahead.
What have you got coming up as far as tours go? Is there something else that you're working on as well, secretly, for the summer?
Secret? If it was a secret, I wouldn't be able to tell you, would I? I am doing some live shows in May, just a little venue in London. I don't know about touring. I don't know if I can face it. I quite like getting on the bus, going into work, doing a show, going home, as opposed to being on the road for months. Probably the year after next year, I'll do one of those tours.
TV must be on the phone a few times. I know you've done the reality stuff in the past, but is that something that maybe tempts you again, or is there anything else we can see you on the small box in the corner of the room?
You can see me on a programme called Nature Nuts, which is all filmed and edited, and it's about people who are obsessed with nature, people who are, you know, film badgers in their back garden or beavers on the river, and I go and chat to them. That's for ITV, and I'm doing some other stuff next year.
And the nature filming, is this something you're partaking in yourself? Are you sat outside with your camera phone trying to film a fox?
No, they've got more and more interested in it as we went on, and we set up cameras in my own garden and little animal traps, and it's all very interesting.
It makes a change from the persona we probably see on stage, where you get to have a lot of fun, and as they say, it's something you are doing in panto, as you mentioned. It must be nice to be able to interact with the audience in that way. As you say, you're enjoying it in panto at the moment, and maybe that's what you get out of it when you're doing your other work as well.
I always think, you know, having a chat with someone in the audience is more interesting than anything scripted to me, because it's improvised, and people are funny, aren't they? People in Wolverhampton are funny. So I'm just interested in them, and I'd rather do that than anything else, really.
When you're visiting a city like Wolverhampton, I mean, do you like to get out and about and actually check out some of the venues and whatever else that is going on around yourself, if you ever get time?
I've wafted around Wolverhampton down the high street. I've been to Marks and Spencer's. I've been to the theatre. What else is there? Refresh my memory.
If you want to come along to a football match, you're always more than welcome down at Molyneux.
Oh, I've been in your football shop.
Yeah.
Yes, I wanted a onesie, the orange and black striped onesie, but they didn't have it in the size of the child I was buying it for, so I got him a sweatshirt instead. No, we'd like to go to a football match, but I'll be stuck here, won't I?
Yep, working the whole time. And fairly limited, yeah, what's New Year's Eve going to hold for you? More shows and then maybe a few drinks afterwards? Is it going to be a party time for you, seen in 2015?
I feel nothing on New Year's Eve. I feel absolutely nothing. I'm trying to get back to London, but the trains are taking 3 hours, 20 minutes. They're obviously stopping at every blade of grass between here and London. So I don't know what to do, but it won't be anything rip-roaringly exciting, I'm afraid.
So just before we go, I mean, what are you expecting for Christmas this year? What have you asked Santa for 2014?
Oh, I've asked for an electric toothbrush because my one is all frayed.
You can change the heads on these things.
I didn't think of that. And I've asked for some art from my partner. But whether that request has been granted or not, of course, I'll have to wait and see. And my parents live in Swindon, for reasons known to themselves. And I will be spending Christmas there. I know exactly what I'll be doing at any given time because it's the same every year. And then I'll come back here Boxing Day.
On stage again, entertaining the masses of Wolverhampton.
You see, Christmas is all very well, but I'd much rather be a feature of other people's Christmas than... I can't imagine, you know, enjoying a whole Christmas week just being with your family. You'd get on each other's nerves, wouldn't you? So I arrive Christmas Eve, have Christmas Day, everyone's nice to me, and then I have to come back to work, and then I can be Christmas for other people.
Turn up, do your bit, then come and put smiles on people's faces. And that must mean that when you're doing your stuff on stage, you must have a favourite outfit from the show. What would that one be? Is it the wedding scene at the end?
Well, here they all are.
There's a full lineup of outfits, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Is it 10?
Seven.
Seven. I can't count.
I like the second one, the turquoise one. That's my current favourite. The one I sing Amore in.
Ah, yes. Mm. You're renowned for your singing, aren't you?
I don't like your tone.
I know, I don't mean that in the nicest way possible. No, it's a treat. And it's
did you enjoy my Whitney Houston?
I did. I enjoyed that. I got that better the second time. I don't think I was being distracted by my nephew the first time I saw the show. And the second time, I got the gag that time, which was good.
Good, well done.
Thank you for having a chat with us. Enjoy your time of the festivities and the remainder of your time here in Wolverhampton.
I'm sure I will. Thank you very much.
So Cinderella is on at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre until the 18th of January. To book your tickets, pop along to grandtheatre.co.uk or give the box office a call on 01902 429212. That's Wolverhampton 429212. And with David Wright, the rector of Wolverhampton and St Peter's, and also club chaplain to Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club. And it's Christmas Day, so you've probably had quite a busy time of it.
Yep, Christmas is probably the busiest time for us clergy. So a very busy Christmas Eve, a very busy Christmas Day, but a little time to relax with the family now.
And Christmas itself is obviously a joyous time of year. How has 2014 been for Wolverhampton, in particular St Peter's itself?
It's been a good year for St Peter's, a lot happening. I think it's been a good year for the city. It's been, you know, quite upbeat. Wolves getting promoted last season didn't do us any harm in terms of city morale. It's been a good year really, and it's rounded off quite nicely with our Christmas celebrations, and we're all looking ahead towards New Year now in 2015, see what that holds for us.
And very often at this time of year it's much more about the commercialism, but also it's a time of year when people do actually think to come to church, and the Christingle service is a big part of the Church of England seasonal services.
Yeah, our services at Christmas probably have twice, sometimes three times the attendance of normal Sunday services. Lots of people make it a priority to come to church over Christmas, which is great. And people often think that clergy have a dig at folk who come occasionally. We're actually delighted to see them. You know, we just love people coming in at Christmas. A very special time of year, a really important time of year for Christians, and we're delighted to welcome anybody into church that wants to come.
And just because you haven't been at any other time of year doesn't mean you're not having, you know, those thoughts, and maybe you've turned to the church when you've needed it at specific times in your life, and I know that you'll have been there for people then. With the Christmas message, you must have a favourite part of it that you enjoy sharing with your congregation.
I think what I like to share with the congregation in simple terms is that as we're giving one another gifts, that's a reminder that Jesus is God's great gift to us. And everything we give to one another, it's a sign of love. And the gift that God gives to us is a sign of love. So there's a lot of symbolism going on in Christmas Day celebrations.
And what sort of message have you got for those who are joining you, maybe for the first time in 2014?
I think one of the passages that we quite often use at Christmas from the book of Isaiah talks of the people who walked in darkness seeing a great light. And that obviously has echoes with Wolverhampton's motto, which is out of darkness cometh light. And perhaps the message would be that if people have had a particularly dark time in their year, whether it's been a bereavement, they've had tough times, recession, austerity, whatever it is, hopefully with the celebration of Christmas and hearing again the message that it's all about God's love for us, hopefully that can be some light shining in the darkness, and that light can lead them towards a good and happy new year.
And as we look towards that new year, many services, again, if people do want to come along, and Christmas isn't over until the 6th of January, so there's plenty of the story of Christmas to come.
There is, and we're actually celebrating Epiphany on the 11th of January, because the 6th of January falls midweek, and it's a little difficult to celebrate something as big as that midweek, so we've pushed it back to Sunday the 11th, and we have our normal services, 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then at 6:30 in the evening we have an Epiphany Carol service, which is a service in which we trace the journey of the wise men in songs and readings, and we present gifts before the altar. So it's a lovely, lovely service in semi-darkness, moving us all around the church and sort of picking up the last little bit of the Christmas story.
If you haven't had your seasonal sing-song yet, there is a chance to come down and get it in on the 11th of January.
There certainly is, and we'd love to welcome people. Come along and sing with the Kings. We can't promise the Kings singers, but we can promise people singing with the Kings.
Reverend David Wright, thank you for having a chat with us, and have a great 2015.
And you too. Best wishes to everybody.
Susan Murray is here in the studio with me, and she's got a glass of water in one hand and a tissue in the other, because you're a little under the weather, aren't you, young lady?
You have dragged me out of my sick bed, kicking, screaming, coughing, sneezing. I've been dying for days.
But as ever, this has not stopped you doing a single gig.
No, it hasn't. I did a gig last night. I don't know how I got through it. It was, but I had to inject Red Bull into my eyeballs just to be able to get onto the stage, to be honest. And we never take, that's the thing with being a comedian, you don't take any time off work. I've been on stage with gastroenteritis. I've been on stage with flu. I always get ill during Edinburgh, at Edinburgh Festival, just everyone's so stressed and run down.
And so many people one place brings diseases from all over.
There's always bugs going around. I had gastroenteritis one year, had to cancel about 5 shows, spent 3 days laid up in bed, ended up in hospital. This year I had a 7-day stomach bug, and I was doing a play and my solo show. And the play I was on for, you know, you're on stage and there's no loo backstage. So seven days. I didn't pull any shows. I got through every single show. It was awful, but I did it all.
So 2014's been interesting for you then?
It's been very interesting, yes.
2015, much planned?
Much planned. Well, I mean, well, that's put me on the hop. I've got a meeting with a radio station, so mm-hmm. I don't want to say too much about that because I don't want to jinx it. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing Edinburgh this year because I did it last year and it's a bit of a grind. I'm actually going to take a holiday in the summer. I'm going to actually take 2 weeks off work, and I've never taken 2 weeks off work in about 12 years. So, yeah, I'm going to take some time off with my new man, and we're going to go and drive around France.
Do you not fancy gigging whilst you're there? Because I know what you're like. You're, so you're just technically on holiday. It's Christmas. You're up with the family. So you're working here. How's your French? Do you think you could do a set in French?
No, I'm not Eddie Izzard.
No.
No, and I haven't run 26 marathons in 26 days either.
No, again, that is something I can see you doing. Absolutely driven. So other than that, when Christmas is a return to the Murray household.
Yes, it's a return to the parents, which is always quite interesting. And it was quite nice sort of being ill at home, isn't it? Because yesterday morning, my mum, she bought me breakfast in bed. And then I realised, you're actually trying to quarantine me, because the biohazard suit was a dead giveaway. Yeah, and it's always interesting with the family, isn't it? And do you know what? I sit around the dinner table with my family and I think, how am I related to you lot? And then I realise I'm in the wrong house. but my brother, have you got any brothers or sisters?
I've got a sister.
Right, so you're the weird brother then? Because I've got this theory.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I've got this theory that everybody's got a weird brother. Because my brother's a bit odd, right? Very, like, we had the first conversation I had with my brother when I got home was, did you watch that Rick Mayall, thing on TV? Mm-hmm. Don't like Rick Mayall. Who doesn't like Rick Mayall?
I have an interesting taste in comedy, and even I like Rick Mayall.
Yeah, I know. And I just thought, and so it begins. And then last night we were watching the, because obviously, we all know my parents are Scottish. We were watching the thing, that awful tragedy in Glasgow.
In Glasgow, yeah.
And my dad goes, well, we used to drink down there. My mum's, what was it called? Englands, that was right. And then my dad went, you started a fight in that pub, Pat. They're quite entertaining, to say the least.
It's been a bit of a treat being back. But you come back and visit various times throughout the year, or you're often gigging. Do you get tempted when you're driving up and down the M6 to stop off and say hello sometimes?
I always stop off and say hello.
Yeah.
It's a great, if I'm driving up north, it's so tiring driving because you're concentrating because there's so many idiots on the road.
But Willenhall's like its own little motorway service station.
Yeah, it really is. My own little services. It's dead cheap as well. And also, because, I mean, at the moment, late night road closures are the bane of every comedian's life because you can't, they're just constant closing roads at night. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a festival in Shrewsbury for Kev Bland, and I was driving two mates of mine back down to London. We got, you know, taken off the M54, and I went, should we just go to my mum's and have some toast? So I rang my mum and went, are you in? Have you got any bread? Can we come for toast? My mum went, oh, all right. So I've seen about 15 minutes. My mate Ninja Benjamin went, I want a ham sandwich. And Phil Nicker went, I want mine toasted. So I had to bring them back and go and give them the specifics. So we got there, and it's hilarious because Phil Nicker's Canadian, but his parents are Scottish as well.
Right.
So he does what my brother does. My brother speaks with a Scottish accent inside the house and a Midlands accent outside the house. And in linguistic terms, that's known as accommodation. Or in layman terms, it's known as not getting your head kicked in when you're a kid. And Phil Nicker does exactly the same. So it was really bizarre because inside my parents' house, he suddenly switched into a Scottish accent. And he's talking to my parents like he'd be talking to his parents. It was mental.
I can't do accents, but whenever I was in Liverpool, because I went to uni up there for 3 years, I had to mispronounce things in the shops. Otherwise, absolutely no, they wouldn't serve me.
Years ago, my mum was telling me when she first moved to Willenhall, she was trying to buy a turnip.
Right.
So she's walking into shop after shop going, do you have any turnips? And they're going, a what? Turnip? A what? Do you have a turnip? And then they're bringing people out the back of the shop and all the customers they're all surrounding like she's come down from like Mars. Say it again. Do you have a turnip? Say it again. What? And in the end, she writes it down. The thing is, no one in Willenhall can read. And I don't know why she's buying. I've never eaten turnip in my life. Maybe that's why.
No, yeah. Can't buy them.
Yeah.
The supermarkets must have been a godsend for her. They go along and feel your own fruit.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got New Year's to come, which means are there any Scottish traditions that you will, your family have sort of instilled upon you that you're going to take away with you because you're going to be back down in London by then?
Yeah, just get really, 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 really drunk. Yeah. I mean, the only Scottish New Year tradition I know is first foot in, where you're meant to go around with a piece of coal and you're the first foot over the doorstep, and that's meant to bring that household good luck. But obviously they've stopped doing that in Glasgow, as we've recently seen, because they haven't had... Oh, God, this year in Nashville was awful.
It's been terrible, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Also, my family, the tradition is they have a big family party on Christmas Day, which is a bit... So it's like 24 hours of drinking. That's why they have like... don't they have two bank holidays in Scotland?
They do, yeah, on the first and second.
Yeah, purely because of the enormous Scottish-sized hangovers that they have.
It's serious. They do like their alcohol. You've got to keep warm up there somehow, though, haven't you?
Well, it stops the liquid on your eyes from freezing over, doesn't it?
Yes.
I've been in Glasgow when it's been minus 10.
That's
and not... I was gigging at the Stand, and they put me in the cheapest B&B they could find. I mean, the Stand's a lovely gig, but the B&B was awful. And it was minus 10. There was frost on the inside of the windows. There was a radiator the size of a postage stamp. And I'd said to the woman, I says, are you going to leave the heating on overnight? And she's like, mate, meaning no. I literally had on every single item of clothing I had with me. I had on two pairs of trousers, three pairs of socks. I was under the paper-thin duvet. And at about 5 o'clock in the morning, because it was just so cold. I was like in the bathroom, like it was a shared bathroom as well, in the bathroom on the floor, smoking a cigarette, just crying because I was so cold and I couldn't sleep. I left at 10 o'clock in the morning. I rang the office and I just said, I'm not going back there. And they put me into another B&B with no window, which meant there wasn't frost on it, but I got two blow heaters. I don't know where I survived that one.
It's a little bit warmer. Now, I went and stayed in Aberdeen over Christmas, and I think I flew up. It must have been between New Year, Christmas and New Year, just for a few days. And the hotel I stayed in, it was the complete opposite. The heating was on absolutely full blast. Again, no windows. But
sounds lovely.
STV, though, they still, because I couldn't sleep, it was so warm. But they still got this rolling service on overnight where you got pictures of the Scottish hillsides and things.
You're sweating.
Yeah, and it's the middle of winter, green hills on telly, and this chap who comes on every 15 minutes and then reads out mentions for people who phoned in. So, because I had to get a mention on STV, and that was jolly good fun. But Is there no, you know, no TV channel on overnight in Scotland? It was ever so peculiar.
There is. I don't think there is, actually.
It's a way of saving cash.
It's like being in the '80s.
Everything Scottish switches telly. Off.
Yeah, it's just like it's just.
They're still showing Take the High Road.
The Test Card's the favourite programme.
That's quality stuff. That. So how many miles do you reckon you do up and down the country every year?
Well, I actually get the train more often now because as I've gotten older, I can't do those 4 hours up there and then 4 hours back in one day. I mean, I have done, but it absolutely, it wrecks you for the whole of the next day. You just got no energy. So now if I'm doing longer things, I generally get the train. But I mean, when I was doing those that kind of driving, I was driving 24,000 miles a year.
And it's absolutely, that must be really hard work in itself, let alone the fact you've got to work when you get there after all that.
It's exhausting, which is why if you've been driving for 4 hours, the last thing you want to do is, hey, a funny thing happened to me on the way to work. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm just too old for those kind of drives now. And also it's good because I'm doing kind of bigger gigs. So you're there for like maybe one or two nights. So rather than doing a gig somewhere else and then driving on to another gig, then another gig and staying at a mate's house, I'm kind of in hotels and then I'm back to London, which is, it's a lot less tiring. And I'd much rather be on a train because I can read my book and dribble on the window.
The upholstery is always very absorbent, isn't it, for that sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's fine. So yeah, let the train take the strain.
I'll throw it back to the 80s again. That's the way we like it. Well, Susan Murray, thank you for joining us.
No worries. It's been my pleasure.
It's always good to have a good catch-up with you. And I'm only sorry you can't be with us for the quiz this year, because you'd bring some magic to that, I'm sure, had you been around.
Yeah, but you keep picking weird dates, don't you?
My
best mate can't do it either. Kelly can't do
it. No, I don't know if you wanted Kelly in, but we had a chat with her before Christmas, so at least we've got our fix of Kelly Jeffson, which is always good. Right, OK, we've talked a bit about the year. It's been an absolutely mad, busy one. But what's been your work highlight of the year?
Oh, there was a couple, really. I did Stephen Amos's Idiot's Guide show on Radio 4.
I heard that.
Did you really?
I did hear that, yeah.
I only found out a couple of days before, and I literally found out the night before I flew to Oslo for gigs. So I was like in transit and in Oslo going, I've got to get this set together for this Radio 4 thing. So I was like, it was all a bit hectic. And I remember landing at Stansted, and the comedian I was working with, his girlfriend, she lived in Crouch End, and I'd arranged to go and do a gig in Crouch End that night as a kind of like, there was a run-in for it, like a warm-up. And she literally drove me from the airport straight to the gig. So it was all very kind of like hectic.
Very rock and roll.
Yeah, and I did a breaking up because I got dumped by text twice in the space of 1 year, which is lovely, isn't it?
It's nice.
Aren't men great?
The magic of technology helping out in a relationship.
Yeah. So I did that. And also, I finally did what I've really wanted to do for years, which is radio comedy acting. And I got to do that on Jeremy Hardy Speaks to the Nation, which I just loved doing. And I had a real moment because I've been in the same studio watching other shows being recorded in there thinking, I'd kill to be on that stage. And then I was on the stage and I had a sudden moment of going, oh, my God, I'm actually on the stage. Like trying not to like do cartwheels and just trying to keep all the excitement in. But I love doing that. I had a really, really good time.
And obviously you've got your own night that you organise down in London as well. So if people want to come along and see whether it be you doing some work on there or a host of other comedians.
Well, I MC that. I'm the regular MC. It's once a month, generally. It's readingcomedy.com. So I've had like Gina Yashri. I've got Sean Hughes on the 8th of January. I've got Barry Cryer on the 5th of February. Mm-hmm. Haven't booked any further ahead than that. Oh, I've got Stuart Lee penciled for an Edinburgh preview in the summer. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be one to watch. And his wife, Bridget Christie, she generally comes and does a preview there as well. Richard Herring, he normally does it, but he's not going to Edinburgh this year. So, I've had Mark Thomas in the past, Tim Vine. I've had some really big names there, actually. And they're all lovely. Josh Widdicombe. He brought a very younger, better looking audience in, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
really, enjoyed that. It was a bit of eye candy for you, was it?
It was, yeah. It really changed the whole dynamic of the gig, which was really, really entertaining to see.
And I'm sure some of them came back the following month and the following month after that.
They don't, actually.
Do they not?
They're very specific to the comedians, which is a bit frustrating.
So describe your set of followers then, because there will be people who, yeah, that's Susan Murray's on, I'm going to drive 30 miles to go and see her.
Oh, there's only one?
You got one?
Yeah, well, my mate's got, I don't know. I don't think people follow me around. I don't know.
But people follow you on Twitter. They enjoy what you put on there.
I don't think they specifically come to a gig to see me. I don't know. Well, if they do, they don't tell me. Maybe they're too scared to speak to me. Maybe they think I'm going to give them a cold, which I probably am, actually.
Yeah.
Sneezing over my audience.
That's never good.
No.
Not unless you supply your own Kleenex tissues.
Well, it's good for hecklers, really, isn't it? If you heckle me, I'm going to make you really ill. I'm going to lick your face.
So it's always good to see you. Have a great 2015. Looking forward to hopefully seeing you at a gig somewhere in the Midlands, or maybe further afield if I can get that way, and see what you have to offer during the year as far as your stuff on stage goes. And fingers crossed, we'll hear you more on national radio.
Thank you very much. And just one thing, remember that binge drinking is for life, not just for Christmas.
Susan, thank you for joining us. Before you do go, give us your web address.
www.susan-murray.co.uk. My gig web address is www.redimpcomedy.com.
Thank you for joining us again. Ta-ra for now.
Ta-ra.
Don't forget you can join us each week for the Milk Bar Podcast. Just pop along to themilkbarpodcast.com or you can search for us in iTunes. Just once again, type in The Milk Bar so you can get us with a brand new episode every week throughout the year. Have a great 2015, and we look forward to you joining us for our end-of-year quiz, which will be released on New Year's Eve. Ta-ra for now.